chord there.
Yo, T-Rock.
Hey, how about the Peacocks?
Hey, hold up now. This is don't go there yet. I mean, this is the 2022 Loopers for Life theme song. We're rolling in bumping, man.
We are bumping.
Just like those Peacocks did. They were bumping everywhere, weren't they?
Here's the thing. We got to talk about your cats and little Coach Cal.
Well, let's welcome everybody back to round number two, game number six, Loopers for Life. My man, T-Rock from the block.
What's up? What's up?
Tao Grace Marketing Media Studios. What up, T?
So, your boys are gone.
Oh.
UK did not last. So, you just mentioned about the PGA meeting. And the guy came in and said, I'm going to make this brief like UK's tournament experience.
Talk about it. Whoever that guy, I don't even want to tell that story. But, I mean, you know, here's the thing about Loopers for Life. This is our show. We talk about whatever we want.
We can talk about whatever we want.
You know how back in the day, we used to, when you were working over at Oxmoor and we were together, yep. We were doing some fancy things. We would have the Red and Blue Review come
yep.
in.
That's right.
They would do their radio show.
Yeah.
And then,
Scott Clark, David Gone.
We also did the stint things with Padgett and Ragone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about UK U of L because I'm going to say, not only was that the worst NCAA tournament loss that I've ever witnessed in my life, at the same time, being here in Louisville and watching that, seeing and knowing that the next day U of L was introducing a
Kenny
new
Payne.
Coach, that had to be
welcome
one of
to the Payne great, train. Yeah,
that had to be one of the greatest days.
It was a good day. It was a good weekend for U of L fans.
Yeah, and y'all didn't even play. Y'all played your
women's.
Hey, and I'm a Title IX pro.
You are Title IX
pro, so you know I love the women's game. And Kentucky's women got bounced out of the tournament, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that day here in Louisville, as a Louisville fan, that had to be one of the greatest days.
So talk to me about Tshiebwe. How do you not get him the basketball down the stretch in that game? Like, you can't tell me that Calipari did a good coaching.
No, I mean,
he was awful.
The only way they truly get him the basketball is to take a dribble drive, jacked up shot,
it doesn't
and
matter.
Let him go rebound.
It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, there was no set play to be able to get it into him. And, you know, as great as the season was as a UK fan, and it truly was a great season, Oscar Tshiebwe was the best player I've ever witnessed in
my
lifetime.
He was fun to watch, man.
I mean, fun. His
I don't care who you're a fan of. He was fun to watch.
He gave it all out there. And, I mean, he battled the Peacocks. He was in there battling the feathers. I mean, you know, but everybody else, they were featherweight. And you look at it, Ty Washington, where'd he go? Sitting on the bench. Where did Grady go? Oh, he's shooting bricks.
Yeah.
I mean, he shot one of the
brick
worst.
City.
That guy shot not only a brick, bro, and went right there at the end. And it was right when he knocked it. He got the ball back and he shot it again, which was impressive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he missed the square on the other side. It was so deep.
Hey, you know that St. Peter's couldn't afford to send their cheerleaders to the thing?
Because they were busy watching the kids in the orphanage. I mean, that's what they were doing. The St. Peter's Orphanage beat UK. Their basketball team consists of kids who have made it through the orphanage and went to college on their little college campus section. Have you seen the campus? It's like three buildings, bro. And you know
it was an orphanage before it was a college. But my dad told me that yesterday that this whole tournament experience has brought them in $150 million. And no telling what it's done to enrollment.
Well, I'm going to tell you,
it's
that
crazy.
Coach is the man.
I mean, he is the man. They're not keeping him.
No, and you know, he won the Big East Championship for Seton Hall. I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head, but I can just tell you, he is quickly one of the hottest coaches.
Holloway?
Yes. And he's quickly one of the hottest coaches in America from that win. And from not only that win, they did the same thing to Murray State. They punked out UK and Murray State. They punked them out.
They punked them.
And they were only, what, 6'6"? Are you kidding me, bro?
I know.
Are you kidding me? You got
which
punked
is why
out.
I think Purdue's going to beat the brakes off of them.
Well,
but
Purdue, as a Kentucky fan looking at the brackets, Purdue was the biggest matchup.
Well,
Purdue,
and they got that 7'3" dude.
And they have that dude who's the wing, who is the man,
he's
number
good.
23. I can't
he's
remember
good.
His name. He is good. But, you know, the whole thing, though, let's talk about it. I mean, you know, again, it was a great day for Louisville fans. Definitely a horrible day for Kentucky fans. But, man, how quick does Big Blue Nation just want, you know, a title. I mean, it's
not getting it with Calipari there, bro, right now.
The standard of Kentucky basketball has been changed.
Did you see what his buyout was?
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, here's how that you know how quick they won a title is that somebody's going to question what is the buyout of a lifetime contract for the head coach of UK, who, you know, Mitch Barnhart got it, and the athletic director, I mean, he kind of slammed the door a little bit.
52 million.
But it goes down $6 million every year. Okay. That he's here. So,
52 million.
Every year that we miss the tournament or we get beat by the feathers, the Peacocks, I mean, we're ticklish that day. I mean, it was a little. I know.
Oh, I need a Peacock shirt, Josh. I
mean, oh, dude, there is going to be so many Peacock shirts.
I need
shirts
a St. Peter's Peacock shirt.
You know, there's going to be a Cardinal bird dragging around a Peacock. I mean, you know, and it's just going to be terrible. I mean, it's the.
What do you think about the timeout? Yay or nay?
Got to call one. I mean, you know, everybody, I think you and I talked about this before the show. If you're in eighth grade basketball and you're a coach, what are you doing right there?
I'm
calling a timeout.
No. Look, in my situation, I'm not, because what you're doing is you're letting the defense, like, so if I'm coaching St. Peter's, we're going to come out in a zone at that point. We're coming out in something way different than man or whatever we're playing, because we're not going to let you set up a play to run against what we've been running the whole time. So you're going to come out in something different.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and as Kentucky fans, I mean, the lack of having a play is what really drives the Kentucky.
Yeah, it's dribble drive, man.
I mean, you know, it's dribble drive. So what's the play? If he calls a timeout, the play coming from the sideline would have been, all right, Keon Brooks, the player forward, put your hand up in the air. I'm going to throw it to you. You throw it to the guy at the top of the key, and then you dribble in.
Isn't that kind of maddening? That's your inbounds play. Put your hand up.
So, like, you know, and Calipari will look at the average Kentucky fan and say, well, you don't know how to coach. You're coaching an eighth grade team. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. So are you. You're coaching kids that are 3 to 4 years removed from playing on their eighth grade team.
Amen.
You know, all this. And so, you know, you need to call a timeout and be a Hall of Fame guy and have a play. And so here's one of the things that Cal says all the time is that, you know, we're not concerned with what you do. We only concern ourselves with what we do. Okay, that's great. Until you make a comment that says, I'm not going to call a timeout because it gives a guy an opportunity to set up a defense.
Right.
Give him, who cares, bro? Call your play and run it. And as a Kentucky fan, and you know this, Teague, as a Louisville fan, y'all not in the tournament this year.
We are not.
But you know where the biggest ratings for college basketball come out of? It comes out of the Kentucky. City of Louisville and Kentucky, and the state of Kentucky and the state of Indiana. Yep. We are watching basketball. We know basketball. So here's what we see as a Kentucky fan that loves Calipari, and I'm talking about yours truly.
So you love Calipari.
I am.
You
a
want
coach.
Him there.
I'm going to ride or die with Coach Cal. Okay. I like my team. I love my coach.
And they had a great year.
Hey, they
until the tournament.
Yeah, right. But here's what I have an issue with. I'm sitting here watching March Madness. I'm enjoying every basketball game that I ever watch, and I see a team that for 6 months has run the same play over and over and over and over again in practice. Mm-hmm. And what do they do in March Madness when there's 10 seconds left? They execute that play.
Yeah.
They execute that play.
Well, like St. Peter's, that little backcourt cut they kept running?
They execute it, and you run a play over and over. So what are you doing at practice? Because you are not running plays.
Right.
And he even said this, and you know, his call-in show, bro. His call-in show that he had no call-ins. You could hit him on the Twitter machine if you wanted to ask a question. But he even said this. He was like, hey, you know, I told the guys, just think it's an AAU game. You know, we're just out here playing ball, pickup ball. We are not playing pickup ball. We were playing to win a game against an orphanage to go to the next round to play a team from our home state, and you fumbled the ball.
Yeah,
and it's been a bad fumble. I mean, you know, and it has been a bad fumble. And as Kentucky fans, we have seen the fumble happen over the last few years. I mean, and obviously, you know, 2015 was the biggest one. You're 38-0. You fumbled coaching in the semifinal game. And again, with the lead, just like they had the lead against St. Peter's, you know, they had the lead with the last 3 minutes. You fumbled that game.
Yep.
You know, that was one of the greatest teams in the history of college basketball that nobody will ever talk about because you're 38-1. So, you know, when you go fast forward and you look at it and you have, you know, what happened last year and, you know, it was just bad. I mean,
you know,
and so, yeah, it was a great season. It was a good comeback, but you fumbled a game and your coaching style is got to have some sort of involvement with the game of basketball, because the game of basketball, Teague, it's evolving.
It is ballgame.
It's totally different than when
way different.
Than watching what our dads watched.
Way different.
We played and try to play.
Way different.
Yeah, it's a 3-point game. It's a different. It's not a big post up league
Steph
anymore.
Curry changed it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and then you got the changing of the guard and what's going on in a transfer portal and
the NIL.
Yeah,
it's all changed,
and you got to figure that Cal's on the leading edge of the NIL because he wants players to get paid. But the main thing is that I like my team, the Peacocks. They were the stronger feathers, though.
Speaking about getting paid, let's switch to what we're supposed to be talking about here, and let's go golf. Let's talk a little Phil Mickelson. How in the world do you not play in the Masters if you're Phil Mickelson? And listen, so we're talking about going to Augusta. We're talking about being able to have you shielded a little bit from the media's perspective. How do you not, if you're Phil Mickelson, how are you just hiding from
this? This is the first time in 29 years that he will not be
29 years. Think about that. And everything he's done for the game of golf.
3-time master champion.
Oh, man.
Everything he's done for the game of golf, right? Not being there. And this is a big story, and it's just kind of getting played out, Teague, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think that you're right. He had the ability to be shielded. There's a lot of questions that are still going to come his way. A lot of animosity in the locker room with certain players, and some of those are past champions.
Yep.
It is interesting because you're absolutely right. I mean, he could have been shielded there, and he would have had control over what he was doing because that's what Augusta does. Augusta is a different animal. I definitely am not going to say they're Russian, but I mean, when you're there, it is, it's just a different scene and how they control what goes on the grounds and what comes out of the stories is pretty impressive. I mean, but we're talking about the 1% of the 1%,
sure,
who are members there and who run that place. So, it would have been a good place for him to make a comeback. The one that's going to be interesting is that now a week later, April 13th or 15th, whatever date that is, he's doing this press conference as a defending champion, and he's got to be there for that, right?
I don't know.
You got to be there. You're the defending champ, bro.
Has he taken any sort of media questions since all this?
Done nothing.
I mean,
Twitter has been zero. If he was the PIMP, second place last year,
he's last.
He's probably still going to get a lot of money off of that. Because I mean, that's the news.
That's the news.
So he's still
in the story.
I mean, he's still got to get paid off that pimp program that the PGA Tour. I mean, this guy, what he has done, and there's I read something, Teague, and it's still a lot of players are kind of against Phil and can't believe Phil did this and that. But really, what he's done is he's freed up a lot of money coming from the PGA Tour that they're putting back into players' pockets, that they're making a difference in how they operate. Just off this,
I wonder if Phil's going to be salty about that and be like, "Hey, look,
he's
going
to get paid every year on the PIMP program." I mean, why would you be salty?
Well, what I'm saying, he's getting killed for, but he's helping the other tour guys.
Oh, he's getting from the players' perspective. I would say there has to be something true on that, man. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, he's really going to still put back more money in their pockets by him stepping away and creating the controversy that he created. I mean, the PGA Tour has been holding money and doing whatever they do. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
What did he say that really got him in trouble was nothing, really. And it just gave, because it was all the truth. Now, he said, like we talked about, he said mofo. And when you say mofo, it's going to get everybody's attention in the corporate world. But
I don't know that it was all the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it was embellished. But at the same time, he's...
Well, the Saudi tour is still going down, man. I mean, think about that.
Is there a name that anybody would even recognize is going to do it that you've heard?
Well, you're going to be able to put in entries and all that stuff, so it's all going to come through entries. But they're playing 6 events in the United States.
What?
Yes. Yes.
How does that work?
Google their calendar. I mean, they have a schedule to where they're playing, not 6, they're playing 4 of the 8 in the United States.
How does that even make sense? Kind of
around some like duty PGA tour stops or something like that. And I mean, you know, and it's hard to call any PGA tour stop duty, but I mean, I just did. Hey, speaking of the PGA tour, I mean, you know, and we'll come back to Phil because, I mean, we're going to be talking to Masters all the time, and that story is just going to play out, Teague. And, you know, and I just look at it as one where, you know, the following week, April 15th, you know, what he says there. Because, honestly, what I want from Phil Mickelson, and I'll tell you this right now, and I would love to put a futures bet on it. I want Phil to win the U.S. Open.
No
straight
way.
Up in Brookline, in Boston.
He's done.
At the country club. Phil Mickelson, the comeback story of comeback stories for America.
He's cooked.
Nah. He's got a five-year exemption in the U.S. Open. Now, you know, it's going to be hard to win the U.S. Open. I mean,
But let me ask you this. Yeah, he's 51 years old. If you don't play in the Masters, what's going to make you want to play in any of these? Now, he's a defending champion of the PGA, but what's going to make you want to play in these others?
Man, he's played in the Masters 29 times. I mean, how many times can you go play Augusta at Phil Mickelson? He's going to be able to play in the Masters every other year for the rest of his life.
I guess.
Right? I mean, you know, and so I think that this decision is not that... It's not that far removed from him just saying, hey, you know what? I still don't want to deal with anything yet. Hey, let me let this play out.
So,
and he's probably working the back door. I mean, you know, and doing something on the side where, as he's always done, I mean, and it's been proven through the court of law, really, you know, that he will take anything money-related and play. And when I say court of law, I mean, you know, he's always been a big fan of the fantasy gambling,
right?
You know, and so that's the court of law of my opinion.
So you're right. There's four stops in the United States. September 16th to the 18th. That's a client of mine. It's Rich Harvest Farms.
Oh, really?
We should go live broadcast from the Saudi tour.
Is that in Virginia?
No. It's Indiana. It's close to Chicago.
Okay.
But we should go. Do our podcast from the Saudi tour. It's September 16th through the 18th.
Oh, we got to make an appearance.
Let's go do it one day. Let's go and just interview whoever we can at the Saudi tour. We'll do a nice little setup. We've got to do this live right now.
I'm sure she'll say, "Hey, yeah, you're."
No, I'm serious. We've got to do this.
Let's do it, dude.
I've got the hookup there. That place is incredible. Actually, they only have 25 members.
Every time me and you get together, I always just think, man, this could be our last one. But I mean, you know what? We were successful in going 32 games this year. We're already in game number six, and yeah, we've taken off a week or two just for life, but man, I'm with you. I mean, you know, I love golf, and I like talking about golf on the elite level and seeing these guys and gals go out there and grind across the world to play. And it's amazing the story, Teague, of how many golfers that are so good that you would never know of.
Never know.
I mean, and you know, just never know their story.
I know.
And so it's such a great game at the elite level to see, you know, the competition. And I think that, you know, a tournament like that being here in the United States, it gives the gives the participants of the Asian tour, because that's essentially what it is now. I mean, you know, the Saudi tour was the old Asian tour, which is a startup, and you had a lot of kids that played from South Africa and all these other, you know, continents and little islands across the world in the Pacific Theater, and you know, they're going to be able to come to America and see everything that is first class about what the PGA Tour does,
yep,
right, in America. So I think it's going to be a great thing. And you know, the PGA has allowed, the PGA Tour has allowed their players saying, hey, we're not going to suspend you or, you know, take away rights for you to be able to play in this, but we highly encourage you not to play. And there's going to be guys like Rory McIlroy and, you know, all those John Rahm. They're not going to be in the field. But I guarantee you, somebody down in the top 50 looking to get a start in life, they're going to be in the field, right? I would.
So I'm reading here a little bit about the Saudi thing. Greg Norman's got an interesting quote on Phil. He says, from player to player, that's how I answer this. Phil will be back. He's been great for the game of golf, which we agree. He's got a fan base that is incredible. He's done things that other players wish they could emulate. I wish him nothing but success. We all make mistakes. We all screw up and say stupid things we didn't want to say. As soon as he gets his things sorted out, we will welcome him whenever he wants to come back. I wonder what he thinks was stupid there, because, I mean, he was really just hyping up Norman's tour.
Right. Well, I mean, it's same mofo.
I guess that's what it
is. I mean, it's mofo.
I guess that's what it is.
You know, and that's all. But, I mean, you know, I think that's all what that was. And then everybody used it as an opportunity to, you know, say the PGA Tour and kind of use that as the scapegoat for him doing it and take the, I guess, the corporate side of the PGA Tour. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like a KPMG or the Workday. I mean, you know, they want to continue their relationship with the PGA Tour for years versus, you know, Phil Mickelson. It's an easy drop, right? They can always come back and get Phil, you know. So I think that, you know, that's really what he was saying and what got him into most trouble. But with this book coming out and with everything that, you know, Phil has led, who knows the negative stuff there in there? I mean, you know, it's like the big miss. I mean, you know, who knows that Hank Haney gave Tiger Woods a tip back when he wasn't with Tiger Woods coaching him, and he did it through Mark O'Meara. And he was like, hey, Mark, go tell Tiger that he needs to take the club a little bit more upright. Which, you know, if you've ever read The Big Miss, which I have never read it, actually listened to an audiobook of Hank Haney telling the story. He must have told that thing 10 times that he told Mark O'Meara to give Tiger a tip in 2000.
Right.
And that was before he worked with him. I'm like, dude, come on, man. I mean, you know, anyways, a lot of stories are going to come through that. You know, Masters is quickly approaching. We're, you know, less than 10 days.
I got another interesting tidbit
10 days.
Saudi thing. So they're going to have 48 player fields, which is interesting. That's low, so obviously no cut.
Yeah, and they're going to have squads.
Yeah, and they're going to do 12 four-man teams that's going to compete for a separate $5 million purse.
Right.
What in the world is that about?
I mean, it's just trying to do something different and trying to make a team atmosphere, trying to provide some excitement. I mean, and you look at, like, this week on the PGA Tour, the World Golf Match Play, you know, the only match play bracket that is on the calendar for the year, which is awesome. It's great that they brought match play back onto an elite level at, you know, the PGA Tour and with this World Golf Championships. But even John Rahm said, hey, we need to look at doing some of these things because, you know, it gives the opportunity for the game to be different.
Well, match play, man, that's a whole other deal.
Right.
Like, being good at match play, it's a little bit different than being a stroke
player. Sure. I mean, I can't wait to talk about some of these matches that are going down this week and have the potential, at least in the first few rounds that we know coming out of the round robins. But, you know, going to the DP, I mean, you know, to have something like that, to say, hey, you know what, this is my squad. I want to buy into this guy, you know, and these guys that come from these little pods, it'd be interesting to see how they formulate that, number one.
Yeah, how do you get your squad?
Right, that'll be interesting. And then number two is, like, do they stay together, you know, year-round,
right?
Yeah, or what about the following year? Oh, you're in. All right, well, your squad, now you got six guys that you need to get in there.
Or this dude's a bum. We're kicking you out.
Right. I mean, you never know. So I think that's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be good TV, honestly. I mean, you know.
It is going to be good TV.
It's going to be great stories for the game of golf, whether they're good or bad. You know, no news is good news, so. And good news is, or bad news is good news too, yeah, right?
Right.
Gary Ganu brought that to you from Fraggle Rock. Mm-hmm, But the upcoming schedule and seeing how it correlates within the PGA Tour schedule and seeing how, you know, who goes and plays that week, who has an opportunity, hey, who uses that week as a win,
right,
to move themselves into, you know, the Latin America Tour. Right. I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, from the Asian Tour to the Latin America Tour or the Corn Ferry Tour, you know, that's a significant step and a great opportunity. And it's done not through corporate sponsors. It's really done through purse money.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the guys who win, you know, and get out there and start doing it, I mean, they don't have to look for anybody to pay back. Will Zalatoris is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
getting it done.
Let's go get it done. So that's going to be a good story leading into it. But, I mean, you know, ultimately, in 10 days when the Masters coming around, there's only going to be one story, and that's going to be Tiger Woods' appearance there at the Tuesday dinner, eating some sushi with Hideki Matsuyama.
It's got to be sushi, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Hideki can't come in there with cheeseburgers. Like, it's got to be something and some crazy.
Like we talked about, you know, some good beef.
Or they eat, like, crazy stuff. Like, they eat, like, octopus raw and stuff. Let's go, just staring at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great story. I mean, that obviously is a big hype. And then next week, I mean, with the Ana Inspiration, you know, Nelly Korda, who's number one in the world, and she's not going to play.
You love you some women.
Yeah, I know it. I do. Dude, I'm a Title IX coach, bro.
I am a Title IX
PGA right here. So, you know, you see that upcoming, and that's always a good one. That was the Diana Shore. That was the one where they play at Mission Hills out in the desert. And
place is
always
awesome.
It was always the big white party, and so it was a big celebration of all love. And what that has done for the women's game has been truly remarkable if you think about it, because it's consistent on the same idea as Augusta. It's at a consistent place every year, and it's a great golf course. It's green as can be. It looks like Augusta, and they play it the week before Augusta, so it kind of makes sense on their schedule. I still don't like their schedule where they have five majors, but you know.
So when's it going to happen where it's happening in swimming right now? Where you got a transgender dude dominating swimming. It's going to happen in golf. If some dude just go roll in there named Tabitha and just hit it 350 yards, dude, and it's just going to smash all the women. It's going to happen.
Podsy.
We're not going to get political here, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
We already did get political when we started off the show in the Red and Blue Review. I mean, you know, what do you mean? But, how can it not
happen? I wonder where the PGA Tour stands on all that.
Well, I mean, how can it not happen? I mean, you know, well, the PGA Tour is probably not going to say anything. It's the LPGA Tour.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I wonder if the LPGA Tour is going
to
let it work.
I mean, I would have to say they would embrace.
Let me say this.
I would have to say they'd embrace.
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. So, Nelly Korda, as good as she is, she can't play with the men. She's proven that.
Right.
I mean, even with advantages, it's not an even playing
field. Man, I mean,
that is a very sexist thing to say. I understand that, but I think there's a lot of truth to it.
You saw it in the pool, right?
Yeah, right.
You saw it in the pool. I mean, the girl that came in second place was in the national qualifier for the Olympics.
Yep.
So, all right. So let's talk about the PGA Tour. I mean,
let's go.
Well, hold up. Let me go back on the LPGA Tour. You know, in researching the LPGA Tour and talking about Mission Hills and how great that golf course is, which we're going to save for next week, which will be our major show, because I'm going to be out of town on spring break. You got a lot of stuff going on spring break. So during the Masters, we're going to have a major show next week. So we're going to kind of cover.
Can't wait.
But yeah, it'll be fun. You know, what I was going to say about that is like, okay, hey, they're playing this week right before in Carlsbad, California, and it's whatever it is, but it's sponsored by Barbasol, which caught my attention. And the Barbasol Championship here in Kentucky coming in the middle, like off the schedule of the off week, you know, where
it's normally during the British.
Yes, normally during the British. So you're going to get a lot of good players in this field.
More so than before.
Yeah. How about Barbasol sponsoring, you know, both tours? I mean, you know,
crazy. Again, because you think about shaving cream.
Right.
And it's like, why in the world should you go on the women's tour? Unless, you know, they're starting to get the whole transgender thing. Maybe that would be a really good reason for Barbasol.
For life. This is why, I mean, this guy didn't even caddy, I don't think. And he's over here talking like it's sworn caddy, bro. I mean, my gosh, are you double bagging today?
Dude,
I mean,
always double bag.
Well, I you know, I think it's awesome because, I mean, you know, their sponsorship and with what that tournament has the potential to become, and all the golf professionals, again, you know, being at the PGA meeting and hearing their tournament director come up and
pretty cool
and speak. I mean,
they've, you know, gotten that involved in golf,
and you know, and it had great coverage on the Golf Channel on you know, as being an off week of the British Open. Now it's going to be on national TV.
Yeah.
It's going to be even better.
Yeah.
The opportunities of seeing better players there, I mean, it's just going to be great. And my question to you, you know, and seeing that, not only just did I want to hype up Barbasol, but would you play the week before the Masters? Would you play the week before a major in a golf tournament? Or would you take that week off, Teague?
To prepare for that tournament?
Yeah.
It depends on how well I knew the course. So if I'm a guy that has played Augusta 15, 20 times, whatever, how many times, and know the course very well, I think having that competition under your belt is going to be better preparation instead of just practicing at that particular golf course.
And that's what, you know, who historically was always that guy is Phil Mickelson.
He was always that guy.
I mean, he was that guy.
You got to know the course, though.
At some point, I mean, you know, you're going to, you know, that's a hard one because you're grinding out there Saturday and Sunday. And then you just, you know, you fly probably across the world. You go
what to these Augusta. Guys do yeah, week
it
to
is
week.
What they do, it is what they do. And why not get that tournament reps under you?
That's
now,
what I think.
If you go out there and you miss the cut, and maybe you start bailing your swing, and you start, you know, thinking all these bad thoughts, maybe that's not a good set. You just, I don't know. You have to be where you're at in your game at that point in time.
Yeah, but I think there's also something to be said for those competitive juices to be flowing too. I don't know, man. It goes both ways, but you have to really, really know the golf course. And if there's changes to the golf course, maybe that would be another reason to go and potentially prepare instead of play. But I would err on the side of playing.
And they've always played the, you know, on the PGA Tour, they've always played the, like, the Houston Open. They've played it in Texas, so the weather's nice. You're in South Texas. You get the Bermuda, or what was the Bermuda that was kind of, you know, what Augusta has, because, you know, and just the difference, the different playing surface, and, you know, and they always cut the greens super fast there, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good event. You would have.
What do you think the stimp is on those?
Like, oh, man, Augusta. You know, honestly, I'll bet you they're probably like a 12, but because they're so undulated, they're probably like a 15.
Just because of all the hills.
Just because they probably keep them just like a normal, like, obviously better than a normal operation. But let's just say Valhalla, and you go out and you play Valhalla. They're probably very similar to Valhalla, except for they have their old school and they're built on hills, and I mean, you know, and there's undulations everywhere, and so that automatically picks up the speed.
You know, people that have been to Augusta have always told me you can't appreciate how hilly that place is until you've been there.
Crazy,
because you don't see it on TV.
Crazy, yeah. I mean, it. You know, when I went there in 2019, I wanted to walk from number one tee and just do the whole golf course.
Okay,
and I never got the opportunity.
Why?
I just got lost on the practice range and started watching guys.
Right,
and I was like, hey, all right, I am going to do that on the back nine for sure, because that's what you see.
That makes sense.
And I did it, and you know, it rained too. So it was just kind of a weird Tuesday that I was there. And but, you know, like I've said before, you know, got to watch Tiger have his only practice session on the grounds in front of everybody that Tuesday after the rain.
Yeah, but I mean,
his only, and it wasn't a practice session on the golf course; it was him practicing,
and right? That's pretty special.
Yeah, and then he comes and he wins, right? I mean, you know, and so that was very special. But it's crazy hilly right there, and then the greens are one that you can just see, like, when you're walking, you're like, man, that is a big mound right in front of it.
Somewhat
similar to like Persimmon Ridge, except for they're not as forced,
right.
I mean, you just see it's more of a gradual slope that's going down. And, you know, that those old school architects, I mean, you know, they were ingenious in their they're very genius in their slope designs and their use of the ground and how they shape golf courses at that time. I mean, it's amazing.
How much has that golf course changed over the years?
I would say it's changed a lot in how it plays, just because the secondary cut of rough that they've introduced. You know, I wasn't a fan of that years ago, but it really does change how that ball reacts for these players.
And they had to lengthen it over time, right?
They have found the length that, you know, I think his hole number 7 or 5 was really modified, the fifth hole. Was modified last year or 2 years ago during the break and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they bought up some land that's behind number 13 tee from Augusta Country Club, which sits directly behind that property.
Yeah.
Actually paid a lot of money, and Augusta Country Club changed their routing. And so, yeah, they're probably adding some tee. You got to add some length on that golf course. It is a tight piece of property. It is.
How nice is Augusta Country Club?
Very nice.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even realize it borders.
Yeah, and Augusta National. I believe it's a Donald Ross golf course right there. And I mean, and it is very nice. I have never played it, but drove by it when I was there. Friends have played it and have said, you know, it's pretty cool because you can look over and kind of see 13 in that tee and a little bit of number 12, just barely, you know. But
you get a glimpse.
So that place is just incredible, Tig. I mean, it's such a small town. Augusta is, you know, everybody's there.
It's built for this tournament,
man. And it was built for this tournament. And I mean, you know, and you get it's just amazing. I mean, it really is. That theater is the greatest theater in golf. And again, that's where you know, they control a lot of what's going on. I mean, you know, with Phil having an opportunity to come and do a press conference there been a lot less than doing a press conference at the PGA Championship, to where you have
TNT,
you know, you have all these guys coming in.
Why he doesn't do that? Why don't you show up and do that at Augusta?
Maybe, but maybe too, it's also a sign of respect for him not wanting to bring his, you know, his crap show to Augusta. I mean, right now it's a crap show. I mean, he's rolling the dice and he's getting snake eyes, bro.
Maybe. Now he's lost all of his sponsors, right? Everything.
Getting snake eyes.
I mean, he's got nothing now.
Right. I mean, well, he's got more than nothing. He's got that pimp money, so I mean, he's all right with that.
He'll show up with loudmouth pants.
Oh, man. Did you see that video of John Daly rolling up on... he was just rolling up. He was like, all right.
This is how I prepare.
This is how he jumps out of the cart. He just jumps out of the cart, gives the beer, cracks the beer, lights a cigarette, looks at the camera, and he said, what's the course record? When are we playing?
Unbelievable.
He's the man.
He is the man.
Man, that was the people's
champ. How fun would it be to hang out with John Daly?
Oh, it would be incredible right there. It would be, hey, there's a gentleman right there, the man, your dad in the house. I love it. What's up, Bear Tim? How you doing, buddy?
He's
Oh, no sound?
Not coming through. All right, well.
All right, we'll come back on that.
We'll have to fix that then.
Yeah, but we can hear each other, so that's all we care about. I mean, you know, we're not here for anybody else. Morning, Tim. So the you know, that win and that people, I mean, he was the people's champ, Teague.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, he was the people. He was Happy Gilmore before Happy Gilmore, but man, he's a legend now.
He is a legend.
I mean, he just keeps on rocking, man. Keeps on rocking. So let's talk, you know, as you sit around and figure out if we can be heard.
Yeah, I don't trying to figure out. See, it's hard. It's hard to talk and produce and be the engineer and do it all at once.
Oh, but here's bro, I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. And then upload it on you know, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, IG, Twitter. I mean, everything that you do, Loopers for Life, you've earned your caddy bib.
I have earned my
You have earned a caddy bib, bro. I'll get you one.
I haven't I've caddied for Talon.
I don't know if that counts. Yeah, no, that
and I actually count. I have a caddy bib because the Golf House of America or Golf House of Kentucky would make you get a caddy bib to caddy. So
nice.
I have one. It's got Ridge on the back.
Oh, does it really? Yeah. So you're official caddy.
I think
you're a looper. Yeah, and we're talking like, and you're over there bashing everybody. I mean, you are an official looper. So this weekend we got the brackets, PGA Tour, the World Golf Championships being played at Austin Country Club. This is like the fourth, fifth year that they played at Austin Country Club. I believe it's the fifth year. And fantastic facility, one that has a lot of ties to the game of golf, not only in Texas but on a national level. At some point in time, not at this location, they've moved around in Austin a couple times as a country club.
Right.
But, you know, it was the home to Harvey Pinnock, who is my PGA...
Little Red Book?
Yeah, the Little Red Book. I mean, my PGA hero, who taught Tom Kite and Ben Crenshaw, two guys who have won the Masters. Ben Crenshaw winning the Masters two times, and Tom Kite winning the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Boy, Tom Kite, man.
Tom Kite was one of the best golfers ever lived.
You would look at him and be like, dude.
That dude was a baller.
I'm going to wax this guy. Like, how can this guy be good at anything? But he could play, man.
And he had that freaking Coke vision with those glasses,
I
bro.
Did.
How he played in
that
those.
That may have been unfair.
Man, he had those triple bifocals that Superman.
That was like one of those little radar guns before those even invented. You know, with his glasses.
His glasses.
That may not
like
even
a,
fair.
Oh, man, those were some Coke goggles, man. I mean, back in the day, I mean, you could see like six eyes that he had going on when they showed the camera. I mean, it was crazy, bro. But, I mean, you know, the Austin Country Club in Texas, I mean, you know, again, home of University of Texas, Austin is. Their golf program is historically one of the best in the nation. The list of players that go through University of Texas, I mean, probably incredible if you really, really looked at it. But modern list is even more because of who they have.
Yep.
Jordan Spieth. Who they have? Scottie Scheffler.
Right.
Who they have? Will Zalatoris.
Right.
Who do they have? Somebody that we don't even know about. You know, who they have? I mean, you know, it's it. I mean, you know, and with this being in Texas, all the Texas boys, you know, this tournament, Teague, is to the top 64 players in the world.
Yep.
Minus Phil Mickelson. Yep. So number 65 got in. I don't know who that was, right? But somebody got in.
Somebody got in.
Somebody got in minus Phil Mickelson. But, you know, this is where you have Bryson DeChambeau making an appearance for the first time, you know, playing match play, Teague. I mean, you know, how about this guy not playing stroke play, coming off, you know, was he going to join the Saudi Tour, coming off for $150 million, you know, buy-in and all that stuff, and then hurting himself, seeing, you know, his hand hurt and his hip, overtraining, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's just been probably just getting ready and doing all of his science over there right in his backyard in Texas. You know, he's a Texas boy, lives in Texas still. You got guys in the field like Jason Kukrick, who won at Colonial last year, who's won, you know, two or three times, actually. Right. He won twice last year.
I think so.
And he's been playing great golf in the season. I mean, again, earned his way in here. He's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
You know, you got the defending champion who's been playing fantastic golf, Billy Horschel.
Yep.
You know, Billy, and you know, not being on the Ryder Cup team, you know, probably is looking again to make a statement in the in match play that he deserved to be on that team and be there, which he did. I mean, you know, more so than what I thought, like a guy like Daniel Berger or something. But hey, you know, this week is going to be awesome. And how they play it, Teague, you know, they put all the 64 players into four-man pods. They got 16 four-man pods.
Mm-hmm.
And you play a round robin, so you're playing everybody in there, and then the most, whoever comes out with the most points, who wins the most matches, all right, they will play in the quarter or the, you know, round of 16 on Saturday. Then they go down 16-8, and then following day on Sunday, they'll be four playing in the morning,
right,
two matches in the morning, and then a championship match in the afternoon. So this some of the matches in the first round, just in the round robins, and like today, it starts today, and you know, Max Homa versus Matt Wolf.
Yep.
Jason,
that's Cochran, a good one.
Hey, Jason Cochran versus Sergio Garcia.
How old is Sergio now?
Sergio's up there, man. He's got to be what,
mid-40s, right?
Early 40s, probably real close to 40. He was younger than Tiger, right? He was younger than Tiger. He was a couple years younger than Tiger.
I'm going to find out.
And but, I mean, you know, how about this match? Scottie Scheffler versus Ian Poulter. That's today.
Well, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I mean, you know, Scheffler had tremendous success in the Ryder Cup. Poulter is the best match player in the history of the European side, I mean, in Ryder Cup play. I mean, this guy's he's unbelievable in match play. So, I mean, you know, I think that's going to be a great one. And then you have – and they're both playing well, and again – guy hasn't gotten it done on the PGA Tour, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I kind of favor the British and you know, the those from across the pond that probably play a lot more match play matches than some of the Americans in this field.
Right.
And but, you know, a total red coat battle. I mean, the red coat is going to be Tommy Fleetwood versus Matt Fitzpatrick, you know, both from the UK. So
yep.
I think that's going to be a great match. And you know, ultimately, too, I think that one that's going to be upcoming that you got to, you know, talk about is going to be Justin Thomas versus Kevin Kisner. They're in the same little group.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Kisner has played this way. I mean, dude, he is 16-6-1.
I feel like he's a really good match player.
He's 16-6-1 in the World Golf in this championship.
Okay.
He was runner-up in 2018, and he was a champion in 2019.
Look, I mentioned this earlier. It takes a different type of mentality to be good at match play. Like, you can just let a hole go. You can go get
right.
a 10, and it doesn't hurt you. Where it's all about making – you got to be consistent, but it's about making birdies and putting pressure and being able to kind of handle that hole-by-hole pressure when you're playing against somebody when you're normally playing against the golf course.
Right. And you know, think about this record. 12-4-3 in Ryder Cup and President's Cup combined. You know who that is? 12-4-3. 12 wins, 4 losses, 3 ties. And he resides from Goshen, Kentucky.
Oh, Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas, who's playing Kevin Kisner. So, I mean, you know, he's a great match play guy.
That's going to be a good one.
I mean, he is a great match play. Justin is fantastic because, you know, he's going to make – and he is playing, you know, and we haven't talked about it, but he is definitely on top of his game.
Oh, he's playing great.
Yes. I mean, his top 10 appearances now in some of these tournaments, and you know, and he kind of let one slip away again on Sunday over at the Valsboro. I mean, he was right there coming down the stretch, made some good pars, but didn't kick the ball into the hole. I mean, he needed a birdie.
He's playing great.
But he is playing some great golf, and I mean, you know, and definitely on that incline for having success down in Augusta, but – you know, he's fantastic match player. Yep. I mean, you know, you get a 12-4-3 in the Ryder Cup, and I know I'm going to give you some President's Cup matches. Who cares about the President's Cup, right?
Yeah, nobody cares.
But, I mean, whatever your Ryder Cup is, on the addition of that, it's got to be pretty good. You know, another one that I'm really looking forward to in one of these matches, and it's not today, and is this bracket is going to be Victor Hovland and Will Zalatoris.
You mean Happy Gilmore's caddy?
Yeah, playing against Hovland. Nice. I mean, you know, and I think that's going to be a good one, and I think that the other one that I have highlighted is Koepka versus Shane Lowry.
Okay.
I mean, you know, last week, Brooksy was in the field, and he played well. I mean, you know, Brooksy is a guy that hasn't really made a lot of noise for his being at the top, but he's been in the top 20 for the last three starts that he's had.
He can't hit the green at the Players, so. He can't hit 17.
You think somebody was yelling, Brooksy?
I don't know, man. I just know he's got like 13 balls in the water on that hole.
That's awesome. Good for him. Well, you know, if you had to pick one, hold up. We got one more in this pod that you got to have in one of these round robins. John Rahm versus Patrick Reed.
Ooh.
Now, that's going to be good. Pat, I mean, you know, there's a guy in the Ryder Cup who was all that, right? And I mean, you know, and he had a good season last year. He put himself in a position, didn't qualify on the points, but he could have easily been a captain's pick and kind of got scrubbed because, you know, he likes to play live clean place. They didn't want to have that at Whistling Straits like they did with Dustin, so they kept him off the team. But fantastic match play record. I mean, you know, a guy that is going to probably be hype.
Yeah.
To play John Rahm.
Yeah.
Number one player in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Yeah, that dude gets hyped for everything.
Oh, I think that's going to be a good match. I'm looking forward, honestly, seeing how all this plays out. I couldn't tell you the brackets. This is definitely something that I would never fill out. You know, I don't even fill out when Kentucky loses to the Peacocks in my brackets because, I mean, you know, that could happen. I mean, but the.
I wonder if anybody had that.
Oh, somebody.
You had to have been like a kid or somebody just randomly doing
it. Yeah, just saying, oh, I'm going to go to St. Peter's. I'm going with the orphanage.
St. Peter's, that's funny.
Yeah, so, you know,
the orphanage.
But when you go with what's going on, like, you know, I will be excited to watch TV on Saturday and Sunday to see these matches come down. You know, whereas sometimes, you know, I'll tune in to the back nine like this past weekend. Hard for me to watch it anyways on Saturday, but I'll kind of keep up.
Same.
But Sundays, you know, I'll watch the final few holes and see who's going to win. I mean, like last week, we were all over our fantasy picks, dude.
So you realize Thursday we had three guys that were leading.
Oh, yeah.
Now, not all of it panned out as the tournament kind of went on through Sunday, but we had some really good picks.
We still had three people that were in the top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think I can go back and you know, Keegan Bradley had a chance to win that tournament. And, I mean, you know.
Wait a minute. Really,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Keegan Bradley didn't make the cut.
Yeah, he did.
Last week?
Yes. The Valspro, yeah.
Dude, hang on. We got to get our facts straight here. I got to fact check you.
Oh, hold up. Maybe it wasn't.
He's the one that killed us.
It was Hadwin. That played
Hadwin played great. Keegan Bradley didn't make the cut.
Yeah, he killed us. Keegan, you still a chop.
You suck.
Yeah, that's why you're not in the field this week.
We're not taking any more Keegan because you suck.
But my man, Cousin T, is finally a looper. He's just cussing on that. I mean, finally dude, a looper.
That's not a cuss.
Sears was fine. He'd be like, mofo, you're fine.
What happened to Sears?
You know what? He is enjoying retirement and looping, I'm sure. So... He's all about it, man.
He's off the map. He's off the grid.
He ain't off the map. I mean, I see him on Twitter all the time.
He's off the grid.
Follow him on Twitter because it's a great feed.
It is a great feed.
Global Metro Golf, it's a great feed. You got to find. But he doesn't share our stuff anymore.
Ooh.
I know.
What's up, Joey?
I know. What up with that, dog? At some point in time, I will pick Camilo Villegas. I will do it for you. Just can't do it this week. So if you had to pick one guy in this whole field kind of surviving – all the round robins and then getting into the 16.
I have avoided him because I didn't want to be a homer, but it's Justin Thomas.
Mm. I like it. You know who I'm going with?
Because to your point, he is playing fantastic right now.
Yeah.
And he has been for the early part of this season.
I'm going to go with his BFF. I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to do that, you know, use the Texas. I mean, he's from there. You know, this guy's going to beat whoever he's got to play. He's got to play Adam Scott. That's his feature match.
I would assume that Spieth is a really good match player.
Oh, he's great
putter. The way he putts.
Man, he's, yeah. I mean, you know, he's going to make 20
footers. That's demoralizing when the dude just slaps it down the fairway a couple times, and it's like he just made a 50-footer and beat me.
That's Jordan Spieth's game.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, so that is when match play is at its best.
That's his game. And, I mean, I think he played well there last year as he made his resurrection back into, you know, the top of the of the PGA Tour and being the top echelon of players. So I would expect him to play well down there, and I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go. So you got JT.
I'm taking JT.
And we're going Alabama versus Texas. Yeah. This is an upcoming SEC battle, I'm sure, you know.
I guess.
Yeah. All right.
Any SEC teams left in the tournament?
Arkansas.
Is that it? Arkansas?
Here's the great thing about it. We're going to see John Daly live, probably on the court side, cheering on the Razorbacks.
Who coaches Arkansas? I don't even know who coaches that. Richardson?
It's not Nolan Ryan. I remember when Nolan Ryan did it.
Nolan Richardson.
Huh? Nolan Ryan was a baseball
player. He was a pitcher. Come on, Josh.
Hey, and he was a damn good pitcher, too. Just like Nolan Richardson was a damn good basketball
player. Now, Nolan Ryan could probably coach him some basketball.
I guarantee you Nolan Ryan could coach anything. I mean, that guy was a winner right there. Hey, speaking of winners, Loopers for Life, we're here, you know, I wouldn't say every week, but we're here pretty much weekly.
We're pretty constant.
Yeah, and follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify, BuzzFeed. We have an Instagram page now. I'm going to start posting these things live. Not live, but post-live. And just follow us. Facebook. You know where we're at. Holler at your boy. Philly Mick, we U.S. Open champion. Brookline. Heard it here first.
Let's go.